From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
While most of the American media had its eyes focused on Washington, D.C. and the Kavanaugh nomination, here in New York at the United Nations, the foreign ministers of China and Russia each made a presentation to the world community about their vision of the future. This was China's foreign minister, Wang Yi, speaking at the UN General Assembly's general debate in New York Friday.
Madam President, every September, global attention focuses on the United Nations and on this stately assembly hall. People watch closely what is happening here, hoping that the UN will deliver to the world peace, development, harmony, and prosperity. People look to the UN to help realize their dream for a better life, a UN that is committed to making the United Nations relevant to all people, thus making our world a better place for everyone to live in. The contemporary international order, which began with the founding of the UN, is based on purposes and principles of the UN Charter and enhanced by the vision and practice of multilateralism. It has, over the past 70 years or more, brought about general peace and rapid development. A people-centered philosophy has gained wide acceptance, and broad consensus has formed on the need for interdependence and win-win cooperation. Yet it is also true that the international order today faces problems and needs steady reform and improvement. The world is changing as we celebrate mankind's proud achievements and progress in an ever-changing world. We must never lose sight of the challenges and difficulties we face and must remain vigilant. What we see today is that international rules and multilateral mechanisms are under attack, and the international landscape is filled with uncertainties and destabilizing factors. Should we stay committed to multilateralism or let unilateralism have its way? Should we seek to uphold the architecture of the world order or allow it to be eroded upon and collapse? These are critical questions bearing on the future of all countries and the destiny of mankind, questions that all countries must carefully reflect on and seek answers to. China's answer is clear-cut. All along, China has upheld the international order and pursued multilateralism. Though once kept out of the UN for 22 years, China has never wavered in its conviction to multilateralism and to the purposes and principles of the UN Charter. China stayed true to its commitment throughout the negotiation process on its return to the GATT and then accession to WTO, negotiations that lasted 15 long years and were concluded at a certain price. China fulfilled its promise and integrated itself into the world economic system. After the international financial crisis broke out, China chose not to stand idly by, but to work together with other countries to tide over rough times. For years running, China has contributed over 30% of global growth. It has played its part in helping restore global recovery. In the face of new developments and severe challenges, China will keep to its commitment and remain a champion of multilateralism. Standing at this podium back in 2015, Chinese President Xi Jinping, in his statement reflecting the keen understanding of mankind's common interests and future of our planet, called for building a community with a shared future for mankind. This initiative is in keeping with the trend of history and it echoes the call of the times. It adds to our conviction and strength as we pursue the common endeavor to protect this global village. To uphold multilateralism in this new era, we believe the following principles need to be adhered to. First, we must pursue win-win cooperation. Our world is undergoing profound changes unseen in a century. Also unseen before are the problems and challenges we are faced with. No country can meet them alone or stay immune to their impact. What we need to do is to replace confrontation with cooperation and coercion with consultation. We must must stick together as a big family instead of forming closed circles. We must promote common development through consultation instead of taking a winner-takes-all approach. This is a sure way for a bright future to be ushered in. Second, we must act upon rules and order. State-to-state relations must be based on credibility, not willful revocation of commitments. International cooperation should be guided by rules, not impulse. Practicing multilateralism is first and foremost about upholding the UN Charter, observing the international law and basic norms governing international relations, and honoring international agreements reached upon through negotiations. Third, we must uphold fairness and justice. In international affairs, fairness and justice means equality between all countries, big or small. It means responsibility for big countries to help the small and the rich to assist the poor. Fairness and justice also means respect to other countries' sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity, as well as their choice of development paths and right to a better life and to more development opportunities. Fourth, we must act to deliver real results. Multilateralism is not about making empty rhetoric. It must be pursued to solve problems. Efforts must be targeted, results-oriented, and measured by visible progress. Whether a multilateralism mechanism works depends on the will and engagement of countries. It is imperative that we work together to uphold the international system with the UN at its core, as well as the multilateral trading system centering on WTO. Multilateralism requires a strong United Nations. China supports Secretary General Guterres in his endeavor to advance reform of the UN system in the three critical areas of peace and security, economic development, and internal management. Such reform should be led by member states. It should prioritize concerns of developing countries, make the UN more efficient, and enhance oversight and accountability. Critical to the UN's proper functioning is stable and predictable funding. China will continue to fulfill its due financial obligations, and China calls upon other member states to pay their membership contributions and peacekeeping assessments on time and in full. Madam President, the course of development and progress for humanity is unstoppable. Peace, reconciliation, and harmony are the surging trend. War, conflict, and terror are opposed by all. Equality, mutual trust, and win-win cooperation are the call of our times, whereas power politics and the law of the jungle find no support. As a major responsible country, China commits itself to the path of peaceful development, and China will work with other countries and contribute its share to global peace and security. Since this year, the situation on the Korean Peninsula has seen a major turnaround thanks to the efforts of all parties concerned. China, on its part, has contributed to such development. China supports all-out improvement of relations between the north and south of the peninsula, as well as efforts to facilitate dialogues between the DPRK and the U.S. China encourages the DPRK to continue moving along the right direction of denuclearization. We believe it is also right for the United States to make timely and positive responses so as to truly meet the DPRK halfway. China will continue to honor its due international responsibility and obligation and will strictly implement Security Council resolutions related to the DPRK. China calls on the Security Council to take timely actions in light of development and changes of the situation to create more favorable conditions for peaceful settlement of the peninsula issue through political and diplomatic means. Effective settlement of the issue requires complete denuclearization as well as establishment of a peace mechanism. Only when the two wheels move in tandem can this issue be truly resolved and peace start to dawn. Regarding the Iranian nuclear issue, now is a crucial time for continued implementation of the JCPOA. The JCPOA is a consensus-based multilateral agreement endorsed by the UN Security Council. It serves the common interests of all parties concerned and the international community at large. If the agreement fails to be implemented, the international non-proliferation regime will be undermined, the authority and role of Security Council challenged, and peace and stability in both this region and the wider world world jeopardized. That is a scenario in which no one stands to gain. China urges parties concerned to continue observing and implementing the JCPOA. On this basis, possibility could be explored for a dialogue platform that is inclusive and transparent to facilitate proper settlement of each party's concerns through dialogue and consultation. The question of Palestine must not be marginalized. For more than seven decades, peace and justice have remained elusive in that part of the world. What the international community needs most is not proposal or initiative, but rather resolve and action. To implement the two-state solution, a new round of peace-promoting efforts need to be made to explore a new mediation mechanism. To that end, China will play its part and Chinese humanitarian assistance to the Palestinian people will continue. The issue involving Rakhine State of Myanmar cannot be resolved overnight, and steady progress needs to be made through a three-phased process involving cessation of violence, return of displaced persons, and economic development. Myanmar and Bangladesh are inseparable neighbors and can well become inseparable partners. Yesterday, at my meeting with colleagues from Myanmar and Bangladesh, and also in the presence of Secretary General Guterres, agreement was reached between Myanmar and Bangladesh on accelerating the return of the first batch of displaced persons. We believe Myanmar and Bangladesh are capable of resolving this issue properly through friendly negotiations. China supports the UN's leading role in coordinating responses to non-traditional security challenges in the new frontiers of global governance like cyberspace and outer space. State sovereignty must be upheld, rules observed, and responsibilities honored. Terrorism, a menace to the entire human society, should by no means be justified. Security Council resolutions must be earnestly implemented to counter cyber terrorism, terrorist financing, and spread of radical narratives so as to remove the breeding ground of terrorism. Madam President, development is essential for our world today. We need to address both insufficient development and, more importantly, the imbalance in development. There is no one-size-fits-all model. Every country is entitled to explore a development path that suits itself to deliver happiness and security to its people and bring a future of confidence and hope to its children. Countries face various questions in development. Questions themselves could be turned into drivers for reform, and solutions to problems could bring about development. Economic globalization should not be a process for some to gain and others to lose. Still less should it result in widening the gap between the North and the South. It is important that we adapt ourselves to the trend of economic globalization and see to it that such a process is open, inclusive, balanced, and win-win to deliver benefits to all. International trade is complementary and win-win by nature. It should not be a zero-sum game in which one gains at the expense of others, and no one should be allowed to place its own interests above the interests of others. Protectionism will only hurt oneself, and unilateral moves will bring damage to all. Regarding trade frictions, China stands for a proper settlement based on rules and consensus through dialogue and consultation on an equal footing. China will not be blackmailed or yield to pressure. China has taken steps not just to defend its own legitimate rights and interests. China is also acting to uphold the free trade system and international rules and order for the benefit of global recovery and the common interests of all countries. Implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development should top the agenda of the current session. We need to incorporate the implementation of this agenda into the development strategies of member states and pursue innovation-driven, coordinated, green and open development that benefits all. We need to forge closer partnerships for development and pursue international development cooperation with the UN at its core. North-South cooperation as the main channel, supplemented by South-South cooperation. To meet climate change is crucial to achieving sustainable development. China hopes to see negotiations on the implementation guidelines of the Paris Agreement to be concluded as scheduled by the end of this year to boost joint efforts for global ecological conservation. Madam President, in pursuing our common cause for human development progress, China has worked in partnership with other countries of the international community. This year marks the 40th anniversary of China's reform and opening up. Over the past 40 years, we have worked hard and forged ahead successfully along a path of socialism with Chinese characteristics. This path has brought fundamental changes to China. Over the past 40 years, more than 700 million of Chinese population have been lifted out of absolute poverty, which accounts for over 70% of the global total in the same period. A basic medical insurance system has been set up to cover the 1.35 billion Chinese people, and a social pension network accessible to over 900 million people is now fully instituted. China has built some 25,000 kilometers of high-speed railway. This accounts for two-thirds of the global total and helps elevate global infrastructure construction. According to pools conducted by authoritative international pooling agencies, China tops global rankings in terms of public satisfaction with its development and of public confidence in its future. The path of development China pursues has provided the world with opportunities for common development. Over the past 40 years, China's foreign trade has registered an average annual growth of 14.5%. This has sustained impetus for global growth and offered the world a huge Chinese market. We have every confidence to maintain the momentum and realize high-quality development. China will speed up efforts to build an advanced economic system, and this will create greater trade opportunities and even better investment environment for other countries. China will not reverse course or shut the door close. China will open still wider to the world. China will not erect market barriers, but will expand access to the Chinese market. Of all developing countries in the world, China has been the fastest in opening up to a level unparalleled by others. When it comes to overall tariff reduction, China has accomplished more than what it committed when joining the WTO. The breadth of China's openness in services is close to the average level of developed countries. This November, China will host the first International Import Expo in Shanghai. It will be yet another major step to open China's market. Countries are welcome to take an active part in the event. The Belt and Road Initiative proposed by President Xi Jinping is a public good China offers the world. Indeed, it has grown into the largest platform for international cooperation. It aims to deliver benefits for all through consultation and cooperation. The initiative is open, transparent, and inclusive. It is based on international rules and laws, and it aims to achieve green, environment-friendly, and sustainable development. It is about pursuing common prosperity through greater complementarity among participating countries. By September this year, over 130 countries and international organizations have signed agreements on Belt and Road cooperation with China. Next year, China will host the second Belt and Road Forum, and we welcome all parties to attend this event. China is the largest developing country in the world. To strengthen cooperation and solidarity with other developing countries has been and will continue to be the staunch strategic priority for China's diplomacy. This is determined by what defines China as a country and by the system and values China upholds. No matter how much China has grown in strength and however the international landscape may change, this strategic priority of China will remain unchanged. Madam President, the UN is the premium platform to advocate and practice unilateralism. We hope the current session will go down in the record for its part in upholding multilateralism and world peace and development. We hope that all of us in the international community will support the UN in playing its central role in international affairs. And we call upon people of all countries to work together to build a community with a shared future for mankind. Thank you.
Shortly after that presentation by China's foreign minister, Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov spoke to the world community about his nation's vision of the present and the future.
Madam President, ladies and gentlemen, The statements at the general debate prove that international relations are going through quite a complicated and controversial period of history. Today, we're all witnessing a collision of two opposing trends. On the one hand, we see the strengthening of polycentric principles of the world order, the steady development of new centers of economic growth, the aspiration of peoples to preserve sovereignty and choose development models that are consistent with their national, cultural, and religious identities. On the other hand, we see the desire of several Western states to retain their self-proclaimed status as world leaders and to slow down the irreversible objective process of establishing multipolarity. To that end, these powers do not hesitate to use any methods, including political blackmail, economic pressure, and brute force. These illicit acts devalue the international law which underpins the post-war world order. We hear loud statements that not only call into question the legal validity of international treaties, but also declare the priority of self-serving unilateral approaches over the decisions taken in the framework of the United Nations. We are observing an onslaught of belligerent revisionism against the modern system of international law. Attacks have been launched against the basic principles of the Middle East peace process, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action on the Iranian nuclear program, the commitments within the World Trade Organization framework, the multilateral climate agreement, and many more. At the same time, our Western colleagues are persistently trying to substitute some sort of rules-based order for the supremacy of law and world affairs. These rules themselves get invented depending on political expediency and are an illustration of double standards. Baseless accusations of interference into internal affairs of certain countries are being made at the same time as overt endeavors to undermine and topple democratically elected governments. Attempts are being made to draw certain countries into military alliances that are tailor-made to further their specific agendas against the will of the peoples, while other states are threatened with punishment for their free choice of partners and allies. It is indicative that aggressive attacks on international institutions are accompanied by attempts to privatize their secretarial structures to grant them the rights of intergovernmental bodies in the hope of manipulating them later. The shrinking space for constructive international cooperation, escalating confrontation, growing overall unpredictability, a substantially increased risk of spontaneous conflicts, all this affects the work of the World Organization. The international community has to pay a high price for the parochial, self-serving ambitions of a small group of countries. The collective mechanisms of response to common security challenges have stalled. Diplomacy and the culture of negotiations and compromise have been increasingly replaced by dictates and unilateral extraterritorial restrictions put in effect without the consent of the UN Security Council. Such measures, applied already to dozens of countries, are not only illicit but are also ineffective, as exemplified in particular by more than half a century-long U.S. blockade of Cuba, which has been condemned by the entire international community. Yet, once again, lessons are not drawn from history. The number of those wishing to hand down verdicts without any charges or trial is not getting any smaller. Today, assumptions in the spirit of the notorious highly likely are sufficient for some of our Western colleagues to level accusations against anyone. We've already been through this. We remember very well how often spurious pretexts were used to justify interventions and unleash wars, as was the case in Yugoslavia in 1999, Iraq 2003, and Libya 2011. The same methods are being applied today to Syria, against whose territory missile strikes were launched under a totally trumped-up pretext on April 14th of this year, just hours before international inspectors were expected to arrive at the site of the staged incident. We warn that any further provocations by terrorists and their patrons with the use of chemical weapons are unacceptable. The conflict in Syria is already 7 years old. The failed attempt to effect regime change, orchestrated from outside, relying on extremists, nearly resulted in the disintegration of the country and the emergence of a terrorist caliphate in its stead. The energetic actions by Russia in response to the request of the government of the Syrian Arab Republic and supported by the diplomatic efforts in the framework of the Astana process helped to prevent this devastating scenario. The Syrian National Dialogue Congress initiated by Russia, Iran, Turkey this January created conditions for a political settlement on the basis of UN Security Council Resolution 2254. This is precisely the basis for the Inter-Syrian Constitutional Committee that is currently being established in Geneva. Its agenda includes the restoration of destroyed infrastructure to facilitate the return of millions of refugees to their homes. Assistance in addressing these tasks in the interests of all Syrians without any double standards must become the priority of international efforts and the activities of UN agencies. With all the complexity of the situation in Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Libya, we must not lose sight of the long-standing Palestinian problem. A just and equitable solution to that situation is crucial for improving the situation across the entire Middle East. I would like to warn against any unilateral approaches and attempts to monopolize this peace process. Today, as never before, the international community should consolidate its efforts with the aim of restarting talks on the basis of UN resolutions and the Arab Peace Initiative. Russia will continue to do its utmost to facilitate this process, including within the Quartet on the Middle East and in cooperation with the League of Arab States and Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Mutually acceptable agreements must ensure the peaceful and secure coexistence of the two states, Israel and Palestine. Here at the United Nations, created on the basis of the lessons learned from World War II, we all must think about the future, in which the repetition of the mistakes of the past should have no place. This year marks the 80th anniversary of the notorious Munich Agreement that crowned the criminal appeasement policy toward the Third Reich, which is a sad example of the catastrophic consequences that can result from national egoism, disregard for international law, and attempts to solve problems at the expense of others. Regrettably, today in a number of countries, we witness that not just the vaccine against the Nazi plague has weakened, but also a campaign of rewriting history and whitewashing war criminals and their associates is on the rise. We regard as an outrage the campaigns waged in a number of countries to demolish the monuments to the liberators of Europe. We call upon you to support the UN draft resolution on the inadmissibility of glorification of the Nazis. The growth of radical nationalism and neo-fascism in Ukraine, where criminals who fought under SS banners have been declared heroes, is one of the main factors of the protracted inter-Ukrainian conflict. The only way to settle this conflict is to ensure a comprehensive and consistent implementation of the Minsk package of measures approved unanimously by the UN Security Council. We support the activities of the OSCE mission in Ukraine and are ready to provide its observers with a UN security detail. Yet instead of implementing the Minsk agreements and instead of a dialogue with Donetsk and Lugansk, Kyiv keeps harboring illusions that it might be able to bring occupying forces to Donbass with the support of the West and is increasingly using threats to resort to military options. Those who sponsor the present Kyiv authorities must bring their charges to their senses and make them lift the blockade of Donbass and stop the discrimination of ethnic minorities across the Ukraine. Now, in Kosovo, the international military presence authorized by the UN Security Council is being transformed into a U.S. military base. The Kosovo Armed Forces are being created. The agreements between Belgrade and Pristina brokered by the EU are not being implemented. Russia calls on the parties to engage in dialogue in accordance with the principles of Security Council Resolution 1244 and will support a decision that will be acceptable for Serbia. On the whole, we urge that the Balkans not be transformed into an arena for confrontation once again or declared someone's domain, that the peoples of the Balkans countries must not be compelled to face a false choice, and the emergence of new dividing lines must be prevented. Molding of an architecture of equal and indivisible security is also required in other parts of the world, including the Asia-Pacific region. We welcome positive developments around the Korean Peninsula that follow the logic of the Russian-Chinese roadmap. It is important to encourage this process on the basis of further steps of the parties towards each other and by promoting practical implementation of the important arrangements between Pyongyang and Seoul through the UN Security Council. We will continue to work towards the launch as soon as possible of the multilateral process aimed at establishing a robust mechanism for peace and security in Northeast Asia. The denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula is part of the tasks facing the international community in the key area of international security, the non-proliferation of WMDs. Regrettably, serious impediments continue to accumulate on this track. The U.S. Unilateral withdrawal from the JCPOA violation of the UN Security Council Resolution 2231. This, despite the fact that Iran is fully complying with its obligation, has come on top of the lack of progress in the ratification of the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty and the establishment of weapons.
And unfortunately, that's all we have time for. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.